Next case on the court's calendar this morning is Lorenzo Reed versus Westgate Investments. We're ready for oral argument. Will counsel for appellant please approach the podium, introduce yourself for the record, and begin your argument?
Good morning. My name is Sam Calvert, St. Cloud, Minnesota, appearing on behalf of Lorenzo and Francis Reed, who are the mortgagors and the appellants in this case. May it please the court and counsel. I'm asking the court to do something hard, which is to enforce the statute just as it's written, okay? As lawyers, we're used to trying to find little loopholes for our clients to say, well, this particular statute doesn't apply in this particular case. In this case, the facts are actually fairly straightforward. In 2001, Mr. and Mrs. Reed took out a second mortgage on their home. In 2002, Westgate somehow acquired that mortgage. I don't know the facts behind that, but there's no question that the mortgage was assigned to Westgate. In 2000, the mortgage said that it was due and payable in 2006. So it was a five-year balloon mortgage. In 2005, the Reeds filed a Chapter 13 bankruptcy. They stayed in that bankruptcy until 2010. Some payments were made to the trustee, the Chapter 13 trustee. The trustee forwarded those on to Westgate. The Reeds made some payments during the pendency of the Chapter 13. But ultimately, and after 2010, as nearly as I can tell, and as nearly as the record shows, nothing happened until late 2022 when Westgate foreclosed its mortgage. The statute says that the commencement of a foreclosure is the first publication, and that happened, I believe, in December of 2022. So when that happened, I filed an action in Sherburne County District Court and said, Judge, the MnStat 541.03 says you have to foreclose a mortgage within 15 years of its due date. And Westgate came in and said and convinced the court that the time that the Reed spent in bankruptcy didn't count toward that 15 years. So in other words, the approximately 4 years they spent in bankruptcy meant that the Westgate had 19 years to foreclose its mortgage, not 15 years. And the point I'm trying to make to the court, and probably should have stressed more to the trial court judge, is that the statute negates that argument, because the statute in the last sentence of subdivision one says, and I'm going to elide some of the intervening words here. Excuse me. No action to foreclose a mortgage, whether by action or advertisement or otherwise, shall be maintained unless commenced within 15 years from the maturity of the whole of the debt secured by the mortgage, and this limitation shall not be, blah, 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 extended by any reason of the disability of any party to the mortgage. Well, of course,
and Westgate, bankruptcy is a disability.
Yeah, and Westgate says, well, we couldn't foreclose the mortgage, so that's a disability. That time shouldn't count. And I'm saying MnStat 541.03 is a specific mortgage that talks about, or specific statute, excuse me, that talks about mortgages, all right? It is more specific than the general statute of limitations that says that as Westgate argues, that the time for them to act was extended.
So I've been confused in the briefing about the role of federal bankruptcy law at all. I mean, I think your argument boils down to 541.03 is the governing statute here and does not recognize bankruptcy or does not exempt bankruptcy or any other disability from its operation.
Exactly. We
don't need to look at the bankruptcy code or federal law.
I spent way too much time on that in the trial court talking about how the federal courts interpret the federal statute. But I think when you look at this at 541.03, you say it doesn't matter what the disability was. You know, I cite in the original brief a really old case from Judge Mitchell, Justice Mitchell, who said that the time that a person spent out of state didn't count. The legislature came in and fixed that a number of years later. I'll say 1900. Don't hold me to the exact date. But this statute clearly says that a disability does not extend the 15 years.
Two quick questions, maybe not quick. I think you said, do you agree that Westgate could not have commenced for foreclosure proceedings while the bankruptcy was pending?
Well, the automatic stay or the bankruptcy stay is not nearly as ironclad as Westgate would have you believe. I cited, I believe, a case in the original brief that said that if the Reeds were not making payments, or if Westgate otherwise felt it was not adequately protected, it certainly had the ability to come into court, bankruptcy court, and say, Judge, you know, our property is losing value, which it might have, you know, in 2006 or 7 when the real estate market went in the dump. They're not making payments, which I don't think there's any question that after at least a period of time in the bankruptcy, the Reeds didn't make payments. Westgate could have come into bankruptcy court and said, please relieve us from the stay. And because the plans required them to continue to make the payments, it is likely, at least, that the bankruptcy judge would have granted them relief from the stay, and they could have commenced their foreclosure in something like 2007. Does that answer your question?
But again, that's subject to getting permission from the bankruptcy court.
Yes. The problem is the state court judge said that 4 years just doesn't count at all toward the 15 years, and that's just not the way the statute, when you look at the federal cases, works.
What if the 15 years had run during the bankruptcy? What law do we look at then to determine Westgate's right to foreclose on the mortgage?
I think that would be a lot harder question for the Reeds, because if the 15 years had expired while the Reeds were still in bankruptcy, Westgate might have been able to convince the state court judge that the stay extended the time until 30 days after the discharge, which relates again back to the bankruptcy statute, that when the stay
and
is lifted, you've got 30 days.
But Section 108, then would the right. Federal
right.
11 USC 108 would apply and would grant at least 60 days
yes.
for Westgate to
right.
foreclose.
So, but, you know, that's not the, you know, I mean, the problem from Westgate standpoint, and I don't know why they didn't do it, is that they waited for 16 years after the maturity date. Most of these 15-year cases, Polish National and some others, you know, you have to get out a calculator and figure out when the 15 years ran, excuse me. But in this case, it's clearly stated in the mortgage. There's absolutely no question that the mortgage has a due date, and it's 2006, and they didn't start until 16 years from the due date.
Sounds more like a latches argument.
I'm sorry, Sam?
Sounds more like a latches argument.
Well, yeah, it is in some extent. But, you know, I mean, another part of state law says that it's important of course, in Minnesota, when we started, and most states, you know, English common law, you know, real property was a fundamental source of wealth. And it's very important to be able to tell clearly who owns what interest in real estate. And I don't know why the legislature picked 15 years. You know, they've got the 30-year statute, they got the 40-year statute, they got the 10-year statute on tax titles. There are all sorts of deadlines that relate to real estate. And the fundamental premise of those is that, you know, somebody downstream needs to be able to understand exactly.
But from a policy perspective, I mean, doesn't your client wind up kind of the best of all worlds? They're excused from the promissory note, but they get to keep their house. I mean, why from a policy perspective does that make any sense?
Well, from a policy standpoint, if the Reeds were going to sell the house to you, you would have somebody look at the record title and try to figure out what mortgage or mortgages you needed to have cleared in order to have a clear title. I mean, to accept Westgate's argument that the bankruptcy, if the bankruptcy stay is in place, that the time just doesn't exist, doesn't run.
No, I mean, saying that. They're just saying it's extended. I mean, there still is a deadline.
Well, yeah, but I cited a case where I think it was like 80 years later, the real property was still in the bankruptcy. And their argument would be, well, the stay didn't run for 80 years or 70, whatever the exact timeline was. I cited in the original brief. You have, you know, there's nothing in the record in the county. There's nothing that shows anyone that there was a stay in place on account of a bankruptcy or for any other reason. If you go to the county, there's just nothing in the record that would lead any title examiner or purchaser to think that that 15 years had not already run. You know, and frankly, you know, I mean, they had, what, 11 years to commence a foreclosure. I don't know why they didn't, but they slept on their rights, and they let the 15-year-plus timeline from the original due date of the mortgage, as the only thing in the public record showing the due date, that's the only thing there is, they let that time go by. Just what you wanted, a law school question, right? If there are no more questions, I'll yield the rest of my time.
All right, thank you. You'll have 5 minutes on rebuttal if you choose to use it. Now we'll hear from counsel for respondents. Sorry to put you on the spot with the early start. We appreciate your being here.
Oh, not a problem, Your Honor. Happy to actually get the argument done a little bit early today.
And your name for the record?
Certainly. May it please the court, my name is David Mortensen, M-O-R-T-E-N-S-E-N. I apologize, I didn't make it onto the calendar. I am listed on the brief as a filing attorney, so my contact information is there. We represent Westgate Mortgage. They're the respondent in this matter, and we ask this court to affirm the district court's ruling on summary judgment below. This case is actually about upholding long-standing Minnesota doctrine going all the way back to 1902 that whenever a person is prevented from exercising his legal remedy by some paramount authority, here that would be the bankruptcy stay, the time during which he is thus prevented is not to be counted against him in determining whether the statute of limitations has barred his right.
So the question for you is, what do we do with that last phrase in subdivision 1 of 541.03? Because that pretty specifically says, nor by reason of any disability of any party entrusted in the mortgage. And so how do you get around that?
Certainly. And to be candid with the court, I spent time looking at whether the courts in prior cases had defined disability with respect to that statute. I could not find anything. It also is an argument that was raised for the first time in the reply brief. It was not raised in the initial brief. It was not raised below in district court. So I asked the court to bear with me a little bit in making my argument here. When you look at subdivision 1 of 541.03, that's talking about the 15-year limitation, and it's talking about extending that statute of limitations. And it says, here are the reasons why you cannot extend the statute of limitations beyond 15 years. And what's interesting about that is we're not asking for an extension of time. We're asking that the court uphold the suspension of the tolling of the statute of limitations period. In our case, it never started. Bankruptcy started in 2005. Mm-hmm. Mortgage maturity was 2006. By Chapter 541.15, we couldn't have started a foreclosure until that bankruptcy was discharged. Bankruptcy wasn't discharged until July 26, 2010. So we're not asking for an extension. And I think the difference here is if you apply Subdivision 1 of 541.03, the lender in that scenario would have 15-plus years to foreclose on a mortgage. If there's some disability that the borrower has or the lender has, you could extend it. So let's say it did go for 19 years. That lender had 19 years. In our situation, we still didn't have 19 years. We couldn't foreclose during that 4.5-year period while bankruptcy was in place.
Well, but you had lots of years after. And disability, I mean, you're arguing the disability clause in 541.15. So I'm assuming you're not saying disability means something else in 541.03 than disability means in 541.15.
Frankly, I'm not sure what we know what disability means in that circumstance. I think the legislature must have meant something different, because 541.15 clearly talks about what disabilities will affect statutes of limitation for purposes of commencing the action. 541.03 isn't talking about a suspension of the tolling or a tolling of the statute of limitations. It's talking about, if I get to a certain period, I can have extra years beyond. We're not asking for extra years beyond. We're asking for the entire 15-year period. And I think what's important about that is the Minnesota legislature,
so
even...
So how do you get around Johnson? Because Johnson then is interpreting the federal bankruptcy law, and that's what you're relying on, right? You're saying federal bankruptcy law says everything stayed, can't do anything. Johnson, though, the Eighth Circuit, federal circuit, you know, interpreting bankruptcy law that, you know, Minnesota's in the Eighth Circuit, mm-hmm. says, wait a minute, when you're talking about a period of redemption in connection with a real estate mortgage foreclosure, so not the same as here, we're talking about the foreclosure, but the same process, you know, analogous, I would say, and that it doesn't toll the running of the time for a period of redemption. So how do you distinguish Johnson then?
And you're talking about Johnson and with respect to that the redemption period is extended?
Right, that the redemption period is not extended by a bankruptcy stay. So how do we right. distinguish that from the Reed situation here? And I know, you know, this was a redemption period instead of a, yeah, but it's analogous.
Well, I think the difference there is the redemption period is it expires by the operation of law. And that we have to look, we don't get to look at federal law in this instance because state law is more, it is on point with this. State law is specific to this foreclosure analogy, or to this foreclosure process. I'm trying to think of the...
So why legally would a statutory period of redemption, state law statutory period of redemption, be different from 541.03? I mean, it's the same thing. It's a time period to get something done.
Well... Respectfully, redemption isn't.
No, it's different than foreclosure, but it,
right.
but it's not. I mean, so what legally? What should we look at, and say, oh, Johnson, you know, that doesn't control.
I think Johnson doesn't control because the state statute is specific, in that 540, the 541 statutes, 541.03 and 541.15. are specific in that regard, that they deal specifically with commencement of an action. In the redemption context, we're not commencing an action. We're waiting for the time period to run. And so that Johnson decision and the bankruptcy code allows the additional time after redemption. Here, I think we have to look at it from the standpoint that the foreclosure, even after the expiration of bankruptcy, we still had a larger period of time to foreclose. We had the additional 10 years.
Well, it's from the maturity date.
Correct.
I mean, it says the maturity date. And then it says, you know, disability doesn't apply. We don't care. 15 years.
Then I think...
You've got plenty of years after 2010 to start, you know, still start it by 20, whatever month in 2021.
Correct. I believe approximately May of 2021. The reason there is that I don't think whether Westgate commenced the foreclosure or decided to wait is of any import here, because the Minnesota legislature, in passing 541.03, decided that 15 years is 15 years. That 15 years is the amount of time that the lender gets to foreclose. And when you combine that with the Supreme Court's decision in 1902 that says you shouldn't hold time against somebody during the period that they can't act, that's why we get to the conclusion that 15 years from the discharge of bankruptcy is the correct result.
So So does your argument rely on us saying, oh, let's look to 541.15? I mean, is that where you're saying, oh, we get to wait 15 full years because of Minnesota section 541.15?
Correct. We're saying Westgate should have all 15 years to foreclose because 541.15 tolls the statute of limitations that's in 541.03. I would add that the court should be reading those statutes together so that they're not reading one away versus the other, at least not without some clear indication by the legislature.
And what does that phrase at the end of subdivision 1 of 0.03, why is that there and why wouldn't that be surplusage then and be rendered superfluous if we only look to we only look to the first part, the 15 years, and then we go to 0.15?
The difference there is because subdivision 1 talks about an extension of the extension of the time to foreclose. The extension of the time to foreclose. So if we were to foreclose, or if the measure for our period starts on the maturity date of this mortgage in 2006, and it goes to 2021, and we're saying we need more time, or we should have more time under the law, that would be an extension, because whatever time past 15 years is in addition to 15 years. So it could go up to 14 or up to 19. What we're saying is that that subdivision isn't applicable here because 541.15 that allows or tolls the statute of limitations in conjunction with subdivision 2 of 541.03, which talks about when the statute of limitations period begins, there, as a result, Westgate's only getting its 15 years to foreclose. It's taking that 15-year period between 2006 and 2021 and backing it out from 2010 to 2025, because the Reeds had the benefit of the bankruptcy stay.
So are the Reeds a party interested in the mortgage?
They are a borrower. They're a mortgagor, yes.
Okay.
If there are no additional questions, I will briefly sum up, if I may. If the court decides this matter and reverses the district court, it will lead to an absurd result with respect to the statutes and the reading of 541.03 and 541.15. Essentially, what it does is will handcuff the lender and not provide it the 15 years to foreclose the mortgage. And that's what we're simply asking this court to do, is that we should have the full 15-year period because that's what the legislature has said. If we're not getting the full 15-year period because the court agrees with the Reed's arguments, we're only getting 10 years. And that's not what longstanding Minnesota doctrine has stated for 100-plus years. So, therefore, we're asking this court to affirm the decision of the district court and deny the Reed's arguments today. Thank you very much.
I just have one more
deadline
question to make sure I understand this correctly. So, technically, the statute of limitations begins to run in 2006, which is the due date on the mortgage. Is that correct?
Absent the bankruptcy, yes.
Okay. And the bankruptcy was commenced in 2005?
Correct. Okay.
Is there anything that prevented you from initiating foreclosure proceedings before the 2006 deadline or trigger for the statute of limitations?
there's nothing in the record to show whether there was a reason to go forward or ask the court, the bankruptcy court, for leave. We didn't get into that factually in the case, but what I can tell you from the record that the bankruptcy court, when we look at the bankruptcy court records, is that payments must have been made, or the plan must have been fully followed, because in July of 2010, the plan was completed successfully, which means that the Reeds would have paid everything, they would have complied with all of the requirements of that, and therefore there would have been no factual basis for Westgate to go into the bankruptcy court and ask for relief to be able to foreclose earlier, despite the stay.
I don't see any additional questions, so thank you for your arguments.
Thank you.
Rebuttal?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the attempted distinction between extension and tolling, but I will say, to go back to a bankruptcy analogy, at one point, student loans were dischargeable when they'd been in, quote, in repayment for X number of years, okay? And it was just a mess trying to figure out when a loan had been in repayment, you know, because there's the grace period and then there are deferrals and all sorts of stuff. It was just, Congress changed that, by the way, and that's not relevant. But my point is that MnStat 54103 doesn't say you can foreclose a mortgage until it's been in repayment for 15 years. It just says, it draws a bright line and says we look at the maturity date. We look at the calendar. If it's more than 15 years from the maturity date, you can't foreclose.
How do we square what you argue is the clear language, the plain language of 541.03 subdivision 1 with the longstanding case law that that Mr. Mortensen cited to us about not holding time against a party during the period of time they cannot commence an action?
Well, because the statute's specific, and the statute's, you know, when there's a more specific statute on point, that should control over the more general statute. And
or decisions out of our Supreme Court?
Yes.
Is that what you're arguing?
Okay. Because the legislature sets the rules for when you can foreclose a mortgage. And, you know, it sets the rules for a lot of things, but that's one of the things they set. And in this case, to preserve the integrity and the reliability of the real estate records, the legislature says you look at two things. You look at the due date of the mortgage, you look at the calendar date. And they don't really care why Westgate, in this case, went past the calendar date. I have no idea why they went past the 15 years, and I don't know that that's relevant. It's just they did. But Westgate's argument essentially is we should get 15 years, quote, in repayment, close quote. And I don't think that's what the statute says. And again, I submit it's not an absurd result because from a macro perspective, the fact that Westgate or Reed wins or loses is not all that important. What's important is that buyers and sellers of real estate be able to rely upon the public record as found in the county recorder's office and say, this land is subject to, you know, I mean, talk about the 30-year covenants, you know.
You so look can at, I?
Yes?
So it's SIDEC v. Stryker. Is that problematic?
No, so that's just completely upside down. In the SIDEC v. Stryker, okay, the seller is the one who filed bankruptcy. And the buyer said, well, I don't have to pay because the seller's in bankruptcy. If that were really the case, every Chapter 11 case ever filed would fail because none of the customers of a Chapter 11 debtor would bother to pay their accounts receivable. So the Chapter 11 debtor would starve to death. The bankruptcy stay benefits the person who filed bankruptcy. It does not benefit the person who, you know, I mean, you know, I'm sure John Mack, when he was faced with that case, said, well, I don't know any other argument I've got, so I need some more time to pay, and so I'm going to say that the bankruptcy stay prevented the buyer from paying the seller. But, of course, that's just completely upside down. As to this 1902 case, is it 1902? I think it is. It says that the land was in the administration or the custody of the Secretary of Interior. And I think, I don't know, I think that's just sort of lost in the mists of time what that actually means. But again, I say that the fact that the statute specifically says periods of disability don't count should trump, again, when it's a public policy of the state of Minnesota to have marketable title to real property so it can be sold and, frankly, so the state can tax it or the counties can tax it.
I don't see any questions. Do you have any additional closing remarks?
Just that I respectfully ask the court to reverse the trial court and enforce 541.03 as written.
Thank you. Thank you both for your briefing and your argument and your willingness to begin the hearing early. Thank you. That concludes our oral calendar this morning.